listen to me very carefully.
You are listening to Virat Hill Hardcore Asia. How's it, baby?
My mission is to go and destroy and not to let anything get involved. You get punched, you get hurt. I refuse to be hurt, knocked down, and knocked out. I can't lose. I refuse to lose.
He's been mentioned as a possible opponent.
I take all comers. I don't duck any man.
Can we assume that Michael Gokes is one of the prospects?
All comers. Come one, come all. Because nobody can get close to me. They're not even close. I'm the best fighter in the world.
He's scheduled for 60 minutes next. He's going on French, British, Italian, Japanese television. People everywhere are starting to listen to him. It's embarrassing.
Prepare yourself! Prepare yourself!
You are listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Asia. How's it going?
Well, now you can forget about going to the amusement park.
Keep it real. Take the Red Pill.
Here, Fake Mike, Real News. Guys, this is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. The co-host of the show here is me, Fake Mike. We have Real Mike on the boards behind the scenes, mixing it up on the one and twos and threes and sevens. And it's actually a pre-show ritual that we will engage in. It's an unconscious ritual. But it's that V is somebody who is plagued with connection problems for whatever reason. He is a TI. He's a targeted individual. So they mess with this guy. This guy's got like three internet connections. This guy's got a whole room with electronics and screens. He looks like Dozer jacked into the Matrix. This guy's got like 19 screens around him. He's got headsets. He looks like Tom Cruise in the Minority Report. He's touching screens, dismissing people and items. So usually, fans of the show will know that, yeah, we're going to have to wait till 11:02, 11:03 to get V. Sometimes it's been later. One time it was 11:07. One time it was 11:09. One time it was 11:019. Just kidding. I know that's not a real thing. People are hurt. Will's an idiot. I didn't say I wasn't. So V hopefully will be joining us momentarily. And so thoughts and prayers go out to B. But in all seriousness, I did change my Facebook profile to I Stand With B. No, but seriously, hopefully B will come on and hopefully everything's okay. But yeah, B has consistent problems getting on. And I've interviewed some of the biggest names in this quote unquote conspiracy realm. I used to do a radio show with Doc Marquis, RIP to the G, Doc Marquis. And I've had some Fritz Springmeier, NSA whistleblowers on this show, CIA whistleblowers. We've interviewed some dope people, you know what I'm saying? John McAfee before he passed. I mean, we've interviewed some dope ass guests on our channels and our shows and B's TV show. And I've never met anybody with problems like that. And I talked to Mike, and you know, Mike is the producer, the off-air director. This guy's he's everything in between. And he's even the coffee boy, but he's the coffee boy for himself because he's running the whole show by himself. He's like an evil genius. He's got cranks and levers, and he's smoking like three cigars at the same time, and he's wearing 1890s bifocals. So that's actually probably not time appropriate. That's probably before that. Sorry, that's more 1700s. But yeah, so, and Mikey even will tell you that the man V has got some very, very, very tenuous problems with connecting. So let's hope we get V joining. And it's also very uncharacteristic that we don't have Theo. As of late, Theo's been rolling with us. And Theo's my man out in the UK. I called out for help on Fake Mike Real News, my YouTube channel, and Fake Mike, and I said, hey, and all my platforms for that matter, I said, hey guys, I want to take this to the next level. Let's all get together. You know, there's somebody that's good at something, and if we all put our talents together, hey, let's do something. And Theo was one of the few people that reached out. He volunteered his time, volunteered his effort. He's one of the most humble guys. He can break stuff down like crazy behind the scenes, but when he gets on air, he's super quiet and respectful, which is actually a bad thing. It's to our detriment because he's got a lot of knowledge and it's selfish, but volunteered his own time and his own effort, and he built fakemikerealnews.com. It's a real dope website. We got B's information there. We got Truth Is There, First Amendment Auditors, all sorts of different channels over there, and he built that. He did a lot of stuff, took money out of his own pocket, and this guy is by no means a Rockefeller. So shout out to man Theo. So it's just me right now, me and Mikey, the real Mike and the fake Mike are taking over. Mike, this should be fun though. This is like the teacher's gone, the parents are gone. We're gonna throw a party for the weekend. What do you say?
Get your hand off my penis.
Hey, it's not. I haven't had that many drinks yet. Hold on. Let's. I'm not there yet. I gotta feel the emotion too. I can't be rushing to that. And Mike, tell people a little bit about some of. I mean, Mike is one of these guys that, like, I mean, just imagine how much information you would have. I mean, Mike, how many shows do you cover a day? How many shows do you run a day?
Can you hear me?
Vaguely. Keep going.
Hang on.
You're a little soft.
I run. I personally do. I mean, I'm here at 3 to midnight.
We can barely hear you. Sound far, far away.
I'll crank it up for you there.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, hang on 1 second. I got a lot of background noise in here right now. The AC's on. It's the outside units right by the window, so it might get a little better in a minute. But yeah, I mean, I'm here 3 to midnight. I run Rivero, Bossman, John Stadtmiller, Jeff Bennett, Don Campbell, Jeremy from Kentucky, and your show. So I run 6. And you know, last
so
week
just was imagine. Well, let me ask you this. So, first of all, the subject matter of all the shows, how many times will you see some of the same things popping up on a daily basis? Will you see a lot of overlap or no on some of the shows?
People will cover similar topics, but like for instance today, Don Campbell did play the exact same clip that John Stadtmiller played on his show, which that doesn't happen very often. The information is usually fresh and it's usually whatever is the latest things people can get. And there's going to be a delay. I mean, when you're preparing for a show, I doubt you're not going to get the last 30 minutes of global news and get it all filtered down and try to check it out and then go on the air and have, you know, popping fresh news. And people want to send stuff, and we, you know, it's nice. And some people want to, you know, strangely enough, some people think that you can send a video to somebody who's on the air and they're going to have 3, 5, 10, 15 minutes to watch the video. It's like, doesn't quite work that
way. While they're on the air, yeah.
There is a delay in the information that you're going to get, but I assure you that the quality of information you're going to get here is very high, and it's not going to be from 3 or 4 days ago, that's for sure. If it is, that's probably something that most people missed, which is good to have. But, yeah, the amount of information that comes through here is ridiculous. I mean, it's definitely a fire hose. It could be worse, but I think a lot of people do a lot of good self-curating, the people that want to give tips. So it's generally very valuable information, and there's very little repeat. It's not like the same show 12 times a day. I mean, we're live from 7 a.m. to midnight every day.
Oh!
There's V. Looks like V popping in with some stuff.
It looks like V's popping in the chat. That's a good sign.
Maybe he's off on the time. I'm not sure. Or for all we know, these things have been delayed in Skype land for hours. But looks like we'll be joined by V very shortly. He's sending over some interesting clips and news. Like I'm saying about the, you know, you're a good question about the overlap. Yeah, that doesn't happen a whole often. I mean, it doesn't happen a whole lot, nor very often. We do cover similar topics, but there's going to be fresh takes at the least, if not hot fresh updates. Whenever you need that, it'll be there.
And some of the hosts on the other shows are more familiar than others. And I remember early on in my waking up, and even for a while, I would peep a lot of Mike Rivero stuff. And it's really cool to be on the same station as him. I know some of these other guys are legends in their own rights. I just haven't gotten to all their work. Because, I mean, there's so – and that's the point I'm trying to make is there's so many – I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. And we harp on that all the time, as well as the solutions. But there are so many different sources of information now. The censorship is way worse now, yes. The ability to find these people is way worse. You have to be lucky enough to come across these people, and that's more difficult to come for new people to come across it. But if you know where to get information, there's a lot of good sources, and those good sources are waking other people up. So that is something that has inspired me lately, because if you guys know, I've been a little black pill lately, but I'm back on the red pill. This is the red pill hardcore, so I'm on the red pill hardcore. So. And I think V should be joining us very soon, too. So I got a few things to get to, and there's a few other things. I got a list on paper, and we got tabs. Usually I just keep it all on tabs and notepads on the laptop, but there's a lot of stuff. And maybe Mikey wants to pick one of these topics, too, but I got a bunch of topics. So maybe we can have – I don't know. I don't know where to start here. There's the Belt and Road – project going on, which is very interesting. There's voluntarism that I want to talk more about. But I want to talk about the law of attraction. There's some new Epstein Andrew news. There's this Rockefeller article that I started covering on my channel. And you know what? I mean, we got through we took 20 minutes and we got through a bunch, but you know what? we're gonna go right here with this one right here. So this is not just an article about the Rockefellers. I've been talking about this for a while, so I need to do this, guys. This is one of those things that I've been putting off. I'm taking a big sip of water here. All right. So if you're scoring at home, which I hope you are, me. This is an article out of the most trustworthy place of all time, CNN. And the headline here is Rockefellers have a message for Joe Manchin. This is an opinion article by John D. Rockefeller V, Justin Rockefeller, and Valerie Rockefeller. Again, if you're scoring at home, CNN, Google, CNN, DuckDuckGo, whatever you do. Rockefellers have a message for Joe Manchin. It's an opinion article. This is not even written by a CNN. I mean, it doesn't get more crazy than this. Rockefellers have a message for Joe Manchin. This is written by John D. Rockefeller V, Justin Rockefeller, and Valerie Rockefeller. I forget. I remember hearing back in the day somebody talking about how the Rockefellers never wrote op-eds. And I believe David Rockefeller, they were referring to a time when David Rockefeller wrote an op-ed for the New York Times. I want to speculate as to what I think I remember what it was about, but I'm not even going to go there. So it's the point I'm making here is it's very, very rare, if ever, that a Rockefeller is going to come and talk about on mainstream news and lower themselves to that level. It's very rare that that's going to happen. So not only do you have one of them, but you actually have three of them simultaneously teaming up to write an article for CNN. So, this is fun. Editor's note. You guys all know about the Rockefellers. We're going to go into some more background, too. I'm going to start this article. I know we've got a break coming up, but we're going to start this. This is an article. There's a lot to talk about with this article. Sometimes I'll just read them and give, what's your take? But this, there's a lot to unpack. Editor's note. John D. Rockefeller V, Justin Rockefeller, and Valerie Rockefeller are the adult children of former West Virginia Governor and Senator Jay Rockefeller. They are fifth-generation members of the Rockefeller family. The views expressed in this commentary belong to the authors. Great. All right. First sentence. We were raised in coal country, about 2 hours south of Senator Joe Manchin's hometown, comma. We were raised in coal country. They're trying to make it sound like they're us. They're the guy from Zoolander, they're John Voight's character in Zoolander, when Ben Stiller comes back from the bathroom after all the oxy pads that he put on his face and he got all the stuff off his face, and everyone looks at him, and he goes, "What's wrong with you?" "I think I've got the black lung, Pa." And he says, "Talk to me when you've been down here for 30 years. They're talking like the regular people from West Virginia having a beer after a hard day's work. By the way, I've been to West Virginia quite a few times now, like 3 or 4 times. Driven through sometimes, actually stayed there, surprisingly enough. You always have the bad idea of West Virginia, like it's going to be really bad. But for whatever reason, I don't know why I'm a city boy usually, but West Virginia is a cool, beautiful state. So shout out to West Virginia. So here are these. Look, keep in mind, the Rockefeller family is the richest family in American history, at least on paper. And these are, I mean, they created everything. United Nations, they gave the land with the United Nations. I mean, don't make me go into it. You remember David Rockefeller's quote from page 406 in his 2002 autobiography entitled Memoirs. Some even, and I'm paraphrasing here the best I can from memory, some even believe me and my family are part of a secret cabal working against best interests of the United States to create a new economic order, one world, if you will, if that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. Openly admitting it. We're these rich people that run everything. We were raised in coal country. We're regular Joes. About 2 hours south of Senator Joe Manchin's. Are we skipping the break? I don't even know. Oh, JMD joined us. Wow, 19 minutes in, a new record. He made it, yes. All right, guys.
Well,
I'm sorry. Forget everything I was saying. I'm not taking over this show. I am not your new leader. Forget all that mean stuff I said about me, guys. Go back to normal. Well, abort.
The funny thing is, I'm just sitting here. I'm watching some news clips on YouTube. I'm waiting for the phone call. And apparently the phone call didn't happen, which, you know, I actually have some, a couple important business calls that I was supposed to be receiving last week, and I didn't get them, Well, I mean, I checked my Skype, and it says I missed these phone calls, but again, no ring. So, these NSA spooks are all over my devices. Literally, you see me in the Skype posting up videos for the show. Not one call, not one ring. So, you know, and it's funny because
I'll tell you, I mean, I was getting unavailable repeatedly.
You're getting unavailable?
Yeah.
Really? I'm sitting here with two machines on, with me signed in Skype.
That's what I said. I said at the beginning of the show, I was like, it's crazy because if anybody knows V, he's sitting there in a room full of machines and screens. He's like a mix between Dozer from The Matrix and Tom Cruise from The Minority Report. He's like scanning screens, dismissing stuff. He's got all this technology behind him. He's got 19 internet connections. And yet still, but this breaks a new record. This one breaks a new record. What, I mean, cheese and crackers, these guys are, and it's like little kid stuff. Right? The other day at work, it's probably like 2 weeks ago, not the other day. Let's be correct here for the record. The other day at work, we had some people at work get upset at us, right? Customers, clients, they got upset. And they were young. This is not a high-class business by any point. I'm just kind of, you know, using euphemisms to kind of spruce it up a little bit. But these people got upset, and these are younger, you know, younger kids, but over 18, and they're calling back, they're prank calling, they're doing all, I'm like, you know, dog, don't you have anything better to do? Like, 21 years old, man, go party, drink, learn stuff in school, go play football, go get a girlfriend, I don't know, dude, like, you're wasting your time prank calling me. I mean, that's what the NSA is. That's what these lack of intelligence agencies are, is a bunch of, and I always call them creepy pervs, but they're more than creepy pervs, they're juvenile creepy pervs. They're like prank calling, oh, let's switch off this, let's switch off that, oh, high five, oh, we got them, oh, we got me. I can see them with their little gelatinous, over sweaty palms. Oh, we got me, we took down his mainframe, fixing their glasses. Oh, looks like we broke through to Sector 7. I mean, what losers, Doc? I mean, I think I'm a loser. I mean, look at these guys, well, Doc.
I think they stopped my call because I wanted to talk about them tonight. You know, I'm watching, you know, some YouTube stuff, and apparently, I don't know, this guy did a video on Snoop Dogg, because Snoop Dogg, he's a streamer, he's a Twitch streamer as well, and it's a funny video because his computer comes on, and it could be like an entire like 8 hours, where there's no one there, his computer just, his computer turns on the streams. So, yeah, Snoop Dogg's being hacked by the NSA. Yeah, I really want to get on these people. Yeah, you know, I'm still undefeated in the telepathy deathmatch. So, you know, these these scumbags, they don't understand. They've got a target on their back. It's quite large. It's only I can see it right now, but I'm gonna get some people real privy to what's going on, and we're gonna make some plans because, you know, it had been my prerogative to start the Nuremberg Trials Part 2, this whole chemtrail things, but I knew it was gonna be a bit of a tough task, but now, since we got this COVID vaccine they're pushing on everybody, I think we can push the agenda to expose their agenda even quicker. Yeah. We could talk about the controls in the courtroom, and we could talk about the vaccines in the courtroom. That's what I want to do. I know it's all transhumanism, okay? Which is, as far as I know, illegal. I don't know too many legal aspects of altering somebody for the sake of whatever, whose social or government program. It needs to be exposed. I'm going to expose them urgently. I can't wait. So I want to put a committee together of some kind, and we just get the paperwork, start moving, so we can bring these scumbags, some of them to court. So I already said 2024, I'm going to have NSA in the courtroom. And seeing how something like that would take about 1.5-2 years, I got to get started on it. Like, now. So, you know, they think I've got no evidence to talk about in the courtroom, but I've got nothing but evidence. I can't wait. Can't wait. Yeah, I wanna talk about what brilliance they have within the NSA agent now. Mike, can we play the first clip I sent you?
And we on earlier spoke to the former National Security Advisor of United States, John Bolton. He spoke on a range of issues from the botched Afghan pullout to the AUKUS alliance and the future of the India-US relationship.
Ambassador, thank you so much for joining us on We On.
Glad to be with you.
You know, we're speaking on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly, and perhaps one of the stories that didn't garner much attention was the one where on Wednesday, the United Nations Security Council extended sanction waivers for more than a dozen Taliban officials to travel abroad for discussions on Afghanistan's stability when their previous deadline ended. The extension was made at the request of the United States, and now the waiver is extended until December 22nd. Do you think the line between engagement and recognition is thinning?
Well, I think the line is thinning, and I think that would be a mistake. I think from the U.S. perspective, there would be very broad support for whatever necessary to allow the departure of additional American citizens, citizens of other countries that assisted NATO, and the many Afghans and their families who worked with us over the past 20 years, and to facilitate that, to understand exactly how many people we're talking about, to make the logistical arrangements. I think in the U.S. there'd be very, very strong support for that. Where I don't think there'd be support, and where I think it begins to be a mistake, is to give the impression that we're prepared to accept Taliban's control as completely established and something acceptable. They remain a terrorist group. They may have succeeded in overthrowing the government. But in the 1990s, the U.S. position was very clear that we didn't regard it as a legitimate government. And that was very consequential in the aftermath of 9/11. So I think that the questions of resolving the aftermath of the conflict are legitimate to talk about, but not in any way that gives an impression that we accept this as a done deal.
I guess the concern stems from when people in the Biden administration, like Press Secretary Jen Psaki, called the Taliban businesslike and professional, or when this administration hands over the security of our troops in Afghanistan to the Taliban.
Sure, it worries me quite a bit. I mean, I'm very worried about the direction Biden could go in, but I just want to be sure we don't inadvertently restrict our ability to help get people out who need to get out. And I think that that this will be a test, and it will be debated in the United States. What's pressing the Security Council, of course, as well, are China and Russia, which are acting as surrogates for the Taliban. And I think there's support enough on the council. We don't want to be in a position of getting into a fight on a procedural issue. So I'm relaxed about this short-term extension because I think there are legitimate reasons in the short term to do it. But I think it would be a big mistake for the United States to concede legitimacy to the Taliban government.
During a hearing with lawmakers this week, FBI Director Chris Wray, along with the director of the National Counterterrorism Center, Christine Abizaid, both expressed concern that the terror group ISIS Khorasan, also known as ISIS-K, seem to be the first Afghan terror group to put U.S. in its sight. And also, they suggested that this group could end up becoming even bigger than Al-Qaeda.
Well, I think it's...
Hold on. Mikey, pause right there for one sec. I want to be the first one. I need to be the first one. I think we should invade ISIS, wherever they are. I think we need to go and get ISIS. I want to be the first person to say that's. See what she's saying right there? I even knew it before she said it. I was going to tell you to pause it. But she was like, "Well, now there's this new ISIS forming," and then she's like, "They're going to be even more deadly." So great, war on terror.
War on terror. Yeah.
9/11.
Yeah, there we go. my mic unmuted itself. I'm getting all kinds of hacks over here. Any profanity I may have said there, Mike. Oh, I thought I was muted. Please.
AI has become self-aware.
Yeah, I'm on my Linux system, guys. I apologize. It's not secured like my other systems. I just have a system that's kind of naked. I just want to experience, you know, everything they would do to a Linux system versus a Windows system. And so far, you know, it's quite interesting. I mean, they don't use viruses or anything, but they will get into your system and screw up settings like you wouldn't believe. Delete files that, you know, that you need for something to work. It's absolutely amazing. I'm just keeping note of everything that they do. But anyhow, yes. Yeah, let's continue on with that clip, please.
Becoming even bigger than Al-Qaeda.
Well, I think it's a very legitimate concern, and I think Chris Wray, the FBI director, has been focused on this for some time. You know, it's between Al-Qaeda, Taliban, ISIS-K. It's not like these are groups that have membership cards and that are very fixed and clear. People go back and forth, and ISIS-K and Taliban right now, in a sense, are adversaries for control of Afghanistan. But that could change in a heartbeat. And remembering that ISIS-K's main difference with Taliban is that they're harder line. This is not a debate that's going to get us very far. So I think that the risk of Al-Qaeda and ISIS-K and other groups we don't even know about yet establishing sanctuaries in Afghanistan and planning attacks against the U.S. and other friends and allies of ours is very, very real.
And your thoughts on President Biden's over-the-horizon counterterrorism policies?
My view was we never should have withdrawn because, by definition, over-the-horizon capabilities are never going to be adequate. You can't gather intelligence effectively when you're not in the country. You can't run networks. You can't have informants that you can talk to and evaluate in real time. You can't be effective at watching what's going on next door in Pakistan or Iran. And so over-the-horizon techniques we will use, and I'm sure the military and intelligence services will do the best they can, but the reality is, as they will tell you, is that it will not be sufficient, so that the risk to the United States of another 9/11, I think, is very real.
To that magnitude?
Well, I think the reason Afghanistan is so attractive to ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and other groups is it's very remote. There are plenty of places where you can't have adequate surveillance. That's why being in country is so important. And if Taliban are in power, they will be a benign government, in effect, enabling these foreign terrorists. So it's not like being in Libya or Syria, which are states in anarchy. This is actually a much better place for the terrorists to be. And I think we already have reports of thousands of foreign fighters coming back into Afghanistan. So I'm not saying this terrorist threat will occur tomorrow. It will take some time to rebuild their capabilities, but I see it as a very, very high probability.
Moving on to the widely discussed AUKUS deal between the United States, Australia, and the UK, you recently wrote a piece in The Economist, and you write, quote, "It marks a sit-up and take-notice moment, perhaps a genuine pivot."
The idea for AUKUS really, I think, is a new idea that creates a new hard power alliance to put these nuclear-propelled submarines into the water. I don't think everything else needs to look like that, but I think it points a way forward. You can have a lot of different combinations in a lot of different ways with different countries to meet the Chinese threat. And one good example of that is the first in-person meeting of the leaders of the Quad at the White House, hosted by President Biden with Prime Minister Modi, Prime Minister Suga, Prime Minister Morrison. The four countries involved are all directly concerned about different aspects of what China's up to. They may come at it from different perspectives, but I think the mere fact they're talking together in this format is important, and it suggests there are other ways to put together alliances on different issues that concern people. I don't think one size fits all. I don't think you ought to try and reach for that kind of solution. I think you're going to have a number of different solutions. Some may look like AUKUS, some may look like something else. But this is really encouraging that we're seeing broader understanding and concern about the Chinese threat.
But there's also been skepticism that a raw deal would be handed over to other Quad partners like India. Is that a valid concern?
Well, I think that, in this particular case, India has its own nuclear-propelled submarines. But the idea of sharing technology, of making weapon systems interoperable, getting the kind of capability that NATO has, moving in that direction, I think is something we should all take a look at. Japan, not a nuclear power. I bet they want nuclear-powered submarines. But the precedent that's set here is really much broader. And different countries may not want to go that far. That's fine. That's why you need different arrangements that can be fitted to the circumstances that we face.
Is this the best U.S.-India alliance and partnership we've seen so far?
Well, I think this is this Quad development has been evidence of the growing closeness of the relationship. There's still a lot of issues that have to be overcome. The air defense systems purchased from Russia, for example, is still an issue. But these are things that that can be discussed, and I think in a four-country format that helps the discussion. I think everybody's worried about what China's up to in all different kinds of ways. India has a land border with China, and there have been incidents along the line of actual control of real Chinese hostilities. So these are things that we need an exchange of views on, a chance to get closer. I think the Quad should be open to participation by other countries, but you could also imagine, say, India and Australia dealing with some Southeast Asian countries, just the two of them and others, or Japan and the U.S. dealing with Pacific Island states, that kind of thing. There are a lot of different ways you can put this together.
And just in terms of the bilateral relationship between India and the United States, what might be the areas of disagreements and possibly tension?
Right. Well, in the Cold War, India purchased a very substantial amount of weapon systems from Russia. And so the legacy systems that India has are incompatible with U.S. and NATO-compatible systems. So I think to get more interoperability, there's going to have to be a transformation of India's weapons strategy. It doesn't have to be all U.S. It could be French, it could be Swedish, British. there are a lot of possibilities that are NATO compliant. And I know that's a hard decision for India. These budget questions are always hard. Look, trade is always a contentious issue. We've had contentious trade issues with Japan and the European Union, and that's going to require negotiation too. But the main point is that seeing now there's a common danger to all of us, that can help facilitate people concentrating on what's really critical in the relationship, and that's finding the areas of agreement and making progress on them.
And finally, with so much attention and focus on the Indo-Pacific region, is America forging new alliances?
Yeah, I think what the United States is doing is broadening and deepening the structure of alliances that it's had. And that's why AUKUS is symbolic in another way. The U.S. in the past has had transatlantic alliances with Europe, and it's had Pacific alliances with Japan, South Korea, Australia. AUKUS is an Atlantic and Pacific alliance, and I think there's a lot of ways in which that can be expanded. Jose Maria Aznar, the former Prime Minister of Spain, said he thought NATO ought to be made global. This is 15 years ago, bringing in Japan, Singapore, Israel, Australia, for example.
There's so much there, and I wanted to shut up because, you know, he probably has a dope point to all of this, and I probably, but I mean, that there, that should scare anybody listening. I don't even know who the hell this is talking right here, but he's saying we need a global NATO. That sounds like a world army to me. That's literally a world army. So people calling for a world army and a new war on terror, that's scary to me.
This is John Bolton. I mean, this is Mr. CIA.
Oh, this is John Bolton. Yeah. This is John Bolton. Okay. I
mean, he's the globalist. The Trump, man. Yeah, Trump had him lead the CIA, right?
Yeah,
no,
Trump
NSA.
Trained,
NSA.
Trump, no. He wasn't head of the NSA. What was he? I'll look it up. But, yeah, Trump drained the swamp by adding John Bolton and Rudy Giuliani and Alan Dershowitz and Skull and Bones member Alex Acosta and Wilbur Ross, Rothschild, But yeah, wow. Okay, so this is John Bolton.
Yeah, this is a foreign news agency, I'm assuming. WION, I imagine this is I don't know. But they're labeling him as former United States NSA. National Security Advisor, maybe that's what they're using that as? I don't know.
Yes, National Security Advisor. Yes, exactly. That's what it is. So it is NSA, but not the NSA that we know. He's a National Security Advisor. That's an acronym for it. What are you? Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I was wrong.
Oh, well, I was wrong, too. Not the NSA. It's little the NSA. Little the.
Yeah.
Now, shall we continue?
All gross, anyhow.
All right, here we go. We can jump back in unless you have something to add there, Bean.
No, go ahead.
Bringing in Japan, Singapore, Israel, Australia, for example. That may not happen now given France's concern. But look, I think you've got to look at this in looking forward in the full extent of the challenge that's posed. And China is a worldwide challenge. So it's an awkward period. But that doesn't mean that we either have to insist on one perfect structure, which doesn't exist, or that we should simply sit back and not do anything at all. It's a period that calls for creativity and diplomacy and strategy, and I think it's important we get moving.
Ambassador Bolton, thank you for joining us on We On World is One.
Wait, he's a doctor? What the hell is he a doctor? Of political science? What is he, a doctor of gender studies? I gotta look this up right now.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure, but, you know, just as you mentioned a few minutes ago, yeah, you know, here we have another war on terror. Yeah, I kind of think, on this show, I'm constantly peeling away, this wrapped up boxes of information that we get. And so, peeling away the the wrapping, so you guys can see.
B got muted again involuntarily.
Yeah, you're muted, B.
They're digitally putting a hand
over. Oh, wow.
All right, you're back. Okay. They put the pudding on you.
What was the last thing you heard?
The last thing I heard you say is you took out a life insurance policy. The sole benefactor was Will Turbitt, the sum of $6,666,000. Continue.
I think you were talking about War on Terror, and then we lost you.
Yes, yes. War on Terror. Yeah, that was the whole point in leaving the $90 billion worth of equipment. No way you're going to come up with another false flag. NSA's not caught any terrorists since 9/11 happened, or any time before that, because there were no such agency. So, this is just one of those things to keep the Patriot Act going, even though the threat is, you know, outside of the United States. But, you know, at least the problem is not within the states, because, you know, they're spying on people illegally. Not supposed to be doing it. Now, I mean, if they want to do that here, I'm outside of the country. They technically can be on my systems all they want. They're on my systems right now. So, it's all going to be an excuse. And I was just waiting. I was actually waiting for the next big thing that was going to empower the NSA. Now, yeah, and it's, our government's so stupid. Watching these senators talk about the money that was being sent to the Afghan government before its collapse, they had programs over there that we were paying for, their tax money. And, yeah, they almost gave the Taliban $5 billion. Seated in the same position as the last government. How ridiculous and how absurd that idea is. You know, it's nothing for these politicians to let $5 billion slip through the cracks. But us debt slaves, we need as much of that money to run our country as humanly possible. I mean, they've already taken away valuable resources to back up the worth of C-notes, okay? You know, everything's been stripped away. The gold standard, even the petrol dollar, okay? So, it's all just a cluster F. And yeah, just to see these criminals on screen talking about this is enough. It just makes me, I don't know, it's a feeling, you know. I don't know. One of these days, I will be coming back to the U.S. I do know this. I'm going to start getting some militias going. We need civilian militia. But yeah, anyways. We have too many criminals working with them. Yeah, I hate to say it. Okay? Child pornography has not gone away from the Pentagon. Okay? Nothing ever came of that investigation. And it's not just one investigation. It's been several. Over the past 20 years. Okay?
R. Kelly supposedly boned a bunch of underage girls. That's terrible. I don't even know the R. Kelly story. I remember I mean, I can't say, I don't want to say that for sure because I don't watch the story, but I do remember when I was like a kid, you know what I'm saying? Like R. Kelly is on the tape, don't, you know, whatever. But, B, what did you just say? Sorry, that's such a creepy thing to, sorry, B, what did you say? I totally lost my train of thought.
Well, you know, you made me lose my train of thought.
Mikey, what did we just say? Run that back.
Well, I do know, you know, R. Kelly urinating on 14-year-old girls, you know, I think it's kind of tame.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's the thing. The Pentagon, right? R. Kelly, he's bad, he's all over the news, but when the Pentagon gets caught with over 5,200 pieces, or, no, it's 5,200 employees. Did you see any of those guys on the news? Did you see Court TV showing up to every single one of the trials? Did they have a trial? I don't know, because I never heard anything about it after that.
Not one.
But you heard about R. Kelly.
No, it's, see, and they always say,
I'm not thinking for R. Kelly, by the way. I just want to let that be totally clear. That's totally, if raping, abusing men, women, especially children, is horrific and terrible. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, there's other people too. There's big people. There's big shots out there.
Yeah, well. Yeah, so here we have another situation here of war on terror, which no other terrorist will still not be caught. We're going to be having the fear campaign. They have to have something to top. The vaccines, yeah, get the shots, have to re-traumatize us. So, I mean, they're just going to keep causing problems just so they can stay ahead of everybody else. I mean, it's absolutely amazing how much. I mean, just, if I just think about all the money spent on the national security, I mean, it is tremendous. Black budget projects, you know, doing black ops, nonstop man hours and hacking people. And then, because I myself, I'll make a USB, a bootable USB with a operating system already cloned onto it, and I'll do that over and over and over and over and over again, if need be. You know, I've gotten that advanced with the whole idea of it, process. You know, something that people should absolutely look into. But yeah. Oh, wow. NSA. Listen, guys. I don't know what can I say about them that I haven't said before.
Well, it's a good find on the video. I mean, especially from the foreign press. I don't know where you found that clip, but it's a great find. And I mean, there's so many things you could talk about in that video. To me, the most is John Bolton just basically declaring that we need a world army. We need a world NATO. That's a global army. Maybe he knows something I don't know. I'm sure he does. I trust the plan.
Well, you trust the plan. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, when you look for news concerning NSA, it's not updated very often. So, yeah, like you said, not a single person has been put behind a podium to talk about the child pornography there at the NSA. And then you got somebody who will pee on a 14-year-old girl and his life is ruined.
And it should be. Your life should be ruined if you do that. But yet, we have... It's not... And the thing is about the Pentagon is it wasn't just like a ring of 2, 3, 5, 6, 10, 15, 5,200. I mean, that's... I mean, how many mother... Do they have working there? I'm actually going to Google that right now. Hey, Siri. What is the total number of employees for the Pentagon?
Here's an answer from Wikipedia.org.
Some 23,000 military and civilian. So pretty much a fifth of them. I mean, I don't know if it was cases or I'm gonna Google that one exactly too. That one's a tough one to find. It's tough to find these articles now. I'm gonna pull it up though. I'm always good at pulling them up. Sometimes it takes me a while, but yeah, where's the outrage there? I mean, R. Kelly does this, Bill Cosby does this, and they deserve what they get to them. You know, if you commit a crime and it's really bad, then, you know, I still don't believe in extended periods of jail time. I think that's cruel and unusual punishment, but there should definitely be some type of consequences and or rehabilitation, and who am I to say and who am I to know? But if we're going to pretend like we have a justice system, if we're going to pretend like we have a government that is supposed to be there to secure our rights and promote justice, literally that's like the idea of it, and you have low-level losers being paraded in front of the TV, and then you got the Pentagon. And there's also an element of racism into that, too. That's why you see Bill Cosby. That's why I say that stuff. You know, people are saying, oh, R. Kelly, you're such a bad person, but they listen to Elvis, and Elvis married some bitch when she was 14. She probably wasn't a bitch. She just like, oh, damn, this is Elvis. I'm a 14-year-old girl. Yes, good idea. So I don't blame a girl being groomed by that. And so you get what I point. Nobody's upset about Woody Allen for marrying his own adopted daughter. Everybody forgot about Jeffrey Epstein. But R. Kelly is a bad guy. And he is. He is a bad guy. But you just got to love the hypocritical double standard, which is racist and stupid. Did I mention B? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's a brand new social media platform that just bent over Mark Zuckerberg and kicked him in the nads. And it kicked him in the pants, metaphorically speaking. And it's TLBTalk.com. TLBTalk.com is censorship-free. Of course, if you go on there and you start saying illegal and terroristic pornographic stuff, of course, we're going to give you the boot like Mark Zuckerberg. But we're not we. I'm speaking for V here, and I can't do that, so I'm going to shut up. But at TLBTalk, I know because I joined up, and I've been wrecking fools over there. Join TLBTalk.com, brand new social media. You guys have been begging for it. V put some hard work and money into it.
Exactly, absolutely. We'll be right back.
Domestic terrorist threat. All residents of urban neighborhoods and cities are being ordered to stay in their homes until the threats are eliminated. If you disobey orders, you could be shot on sight by rogue agents, federal forces, and domestic terrorist militias. This is your emergency broadcast system. This is a national alert. Imminent threat is nationwide. You must stay in sight of your homes or risk being shot on sight. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance. This is your emergency broadcast system. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.